Welcome back into the EA Show. The Eric Haines Show is brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of the Tennessee Volunteers. And we are out here in God's country in one of the best places in East Tennessee. We are in Tellico Village, and we are at the Links at Kahiti. And we are here today because Chris Sykes wanted us to be, also because they have an awesome thing that they're doing. We can ask him about it as well.
Chris, the Folds of Honor Golf Pro Marathon, it's something great that you guys are doing. You have the golf tournament going on as well, but your guys are going through and trying to play 108 holes of golf today.
Yeah, piece of cake. These guys are phenomenal. I'm just going to sit and watch and hang out with you guys, and we're going to order lunch here in a few minutes from the Kahiti Pub and Grill, which is great. And
awesome food.
Yeah, they're just rocking and rolling out there, making birdies and eagles and raising money, most importantly, for the Folds of Honor.
You just said, and I forget the gentleman's name, one of them in the Pro-Am. Just...
Casey Flinnigan, he's a big-time player around here. He's for the PGA.
63?
Yeah, par for him is probably 64, 65 out here. Yeah, he's a phenomenal player.
That's incredible. I just played out here not too long. We were here about a month ago with Ken and everybody, and this is the only place that I have found that I can putt at. So if your game is long like mine, but you're also not the best, if you're a Happy Gilmore-ish, this is the place to come and learn how to putt.
Yeah, we'll have to double-check our putting services. That makes me a little nervous that you're able to putt out here.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
Folds of Honor, though, supporting scholarships for kids and spouses of those that have been lost in the line of duty in military service or injured. It's a great organization that provides those great opportunities.
Great cause. The PGA of America has partnered up with them, and we have parlayed that into some fundraising efforts here in Tellico Village. And nobody does more in the community and in philanthropy and so forth than Tellico Village. Our folks step up each and every time and donate in a big way, and we're just in a great place.
That's really cool, man. And so, like, they come out here, and it's not, to me, it's not, yeah, if Tellico Village takes care of, they're always stepping up. You get the radio station out here, and we're saying everything. I think one of the coolest things is, though, if you're listening right now, and I know how many of you stream us outside of Knoxville to listen to us. It's a lot. All you got to do is go to foh.org/TV, and you can make a donation to the Folds of Honor. You don't have to be here to do that.
Yeah, I love that. And that gets everybody involved. I'm going to ask you more about the golf course in just a moment. But first, it's Thursday. It's 11 o'clock. You know what that means. It's time to cue the banjos. It's time to play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented by the Smoky Mountain Axe House, smaxes.com, to book online. Would you like to go first or last?
I can lead it. You want me to lead it?
Let's go last.
I'm the leader here. It's the Eric Haines Show. I'm going first. Hardcore sports talk information coming at you right now. Go.
Okay. Florida, Alabama, or other.
Okay.
Florida, Alabama, or other. I'm going to angle my computer away so Eric Haines is not...
I don't cheat ever on stuff like this. Did Chris laugh? Is that you, Jay? Is that you, Jay?
Mm-mm.
Go home, Jay.
Man named Sir Dangerous kidnapped a woman and promised to make her miserable, unquote. Man named Sir Dangerous kidnapped a woman and promised to, quote, make her life miserable, unquote.
So... is this like a government name? Is this a legal change of name? Did he go to...
It is his God-given name,
Sir
legal name.
Dangerous.
Sir Dangerous.
I blame his parents for how he turned out.
Yep.
More than I blame him. I am going to go with, on this one, what are my three states again?
Florida, Alabama, or other?
Yeah, I'm going to go Florida on this one.
Logan?
Sir yeah, Dangerous I'll go Florida. Florida as well. It's Florida week. You hadn't done three Floridas since last week, you know, it being Florida week. So I'll go Florida.
Mm-hmm. I lived in Florida for 6 years, and we had a lot of folks like Sir Dangerous down there, so I'll go with Florida.
That's a personal anecdote right there.
27-year-old Sir Dangerous LaShawn London lives in Winter Haven, Florida. He was arrested on Tuesday for kidnapping a woman and threatening her with a box cutter.
Scary. I was not too far from Winter Haven.
I knew Sykes knows everything.
She was able to free herself, managed to drive away. He chased her down in another vehicle, crashed into her. She was able to reach the police. He's facing charges including armed kidnapping, armed burglary, aggravated battery using a deadly weapon, aggravated assault, and grand theft.
And his name is Sir Dangerous. He was going to be in jail all the way, like... just put him there, keep him there. He's never going to figure it out.
He has been set up for failure.
I almost changed my middle name to Awesome in my early 20s.
He did, and I tried to get him to do it in his early 30s.
I really, really got close to doing it. I'm glad I did. My middle name's my dad's name, and I love my dad.
Yeah. Well, you could be
I can be awesome without the awesome middle name.
All right.
I think I am.
Man tries to trade in vehicle he stole from same dealership. Man tries to trade in vehicle he stole from same dealership. Eric, did this happen in Florida, Alabama, or other?
So he pulled the Walmart. People go rob Walmart all the time, and then they just walk it straight to the customer thing. They haven't even ripped the tags off. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a special kind of stupid. I'm going to go Florida. I don't feel great about it, but I am going to go Florida.
Logan?
One more time, Brian. I was answering the phone, doing my job.
Man tries to trade
in. Can you get focused, Logan,
hey, listen
please?
Here, okay?
Focus up.
Man tries to trade in vehicle he stole from same dealership.
Ooh, okay. I'll go other.
He's going other.
I'm going to go Alabama. I had a daughter in school down there at Auburn for 4 years. She's not there anymore, but I got a little taste of Alabama, and I think that sounds very Alabama.
Yeah, Auburn. I don't disagree with that.
Auburn. At least it's not Alabama. That's the
tagline. For sure. Yeah. Nobody went to Auburn was from Alabama.
Auburn, hey, Auburn people buy Auburn shirts because they went to school there. Yeah. Alabama people buy Walmart shirts because they're Alabama fans. Yeah, you know, I butched it. Don't worry about it. I butched it. I tried.
I love how instead
I did my best.
Saying you butchered it, you said you butched it.
I've changed
even
that
better.
Years ago. Yeah,
it's even better.
That's what I call it.
This happened in Lake City, Florida. Lake City police responded to a report of a stolen vehicle at a Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealership on Monday. Employees told officers that a man was trying to trade in his vehicle for a new one, but upon checking the VIN number, they found the vehicle had been stolen from the dealership's lot earlier in the week.
He didn't even wait a while?
No. The man admitted to stealing the vehicle, adding the crime was captured on the camera system.
Having spent some time in Lake City, it might as well be in Alabama.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
All right, last one. Florida, Alabama, or other.
Logan, you better feel the pressure. Feel it.
Man tries to rob gas station when power was out, but the cashier couldn't open the register. Man tried to rob a gas station when the power was out, but the cashier couldn't open the register.
Oh, my gosh. So you give him the whole thing?
Alabama or other.
If you can get him to hold the whole thing, you can probably club him over the head with something.
That's true.
You can take both of his arms away.
He was forced to leave empty-handed.
I'm going to say, was this armed robbery?
Armed robbery.
Ooh, that does change things. I am going to say Florida, though.
Logan?
I'll go Alabama just to be different from age.
Yeah, you have to if you want to win.
I just can't see you going all in on Florida, but maybe because it's Florida week you are.
See?
But now I'm overthinking it a little bit.
That's what we do on the show.
And I went Alabama last when I missed it. I think I'm going to go Alabama again.
Ooh.
This happened in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh. Nice. I still win, Logan.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Put my check mark up there. You text me a picture of that. You put it up there.
It may seem like a good idea to rob a business when the power's out. The cameras might be off, security system. But the cash register was also down. At 4:30 a.m. Friday morning, a man tried to rob a gas station in Lincoln, Nebraska. He went in, started talking to the clerk. That's when the power went out. The robber pulled a knife, demanded money from the clerk, but since the power was out, the register wouldn't open, and he left empty-handed.
And got caught anyway.
Police are looking for him.
What number did he wear? You said Lincoln?
I did.
It's rough times up there with Scott Frost right now. There's not a lot of NIL deals, you know. Maybe some guy needed some money. People aren't comping meals anymore. You're losing all your football games. I can see it.
That's how we play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented each week by the Smoky Mountain Axe House, smaxes.com.
Always good.
You don't just not just here for the event today for Folds of Honor, but you guys have some amazing golf courses down here at Teleco. But we're here at the Links at Kahiti, and it is amazing. Just a beautiful course and a lot of fun for people to get out on.
Yeah, we're so blessed here in Teleco Village. We have three world-class golf courses, Tokwa, Tenasi, and the Links Kahiti. And of the three, this is probably my favorite, just the setting, looking at the Smoky Mountains here. And they're all on the water, you know, Teleco Lake, Tennessee
None
River.
Of them are – they're all amazing.
Phenomenal.
I've never played at any of the courses here and walked off the course to get back in the car and not been like, man, that was awesome.
And really, that's what separates us, the fact that we have three world-class golf courses. Not anybody else can say that in our area. And we're so fortunate and blessed with such great golf courses here in Teleco Village. And we got a lot of exciting things going on, you know, with the Folds of Marathon golf outing here this morning. We got guys out there on the Finn scooters, and we got brand new golf carts from Club Car.
What the heck is this thing?
And that thing's a Tempo Walk. It's an autonomous caddy.
Literally,
Brian can tell you what autonomous leads means later.
Yes,
but basically, it'll follow you around. Exactly. So we've got all kinds
of new to that anyway.
Tech-savvy things that make golf more fun. So that's what we're about, is making golf fun.
It is, and you make it fun. I will not try on the Finn scooter again because apparently I forgot how to ride a bike. But Eric's going to get on one, and I hope it's insured.
Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to. That I can't wait to get his 6'7". He claims to be 6'6".
6'5", 6'5", and 7'8" at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, whatever it was. But anyway, you're tall, and it's going to look great on that Finn scooter. And I don't know if we'll venture that way with Brian again because
once you turn it on, I'm gone. I mean, I'll bring it back.
The old saying, "You never forget how to ride a bike," is not true.
I very clearly did.
That's embarrassing, Brian. You should be embarrassed.
Well,
so embarrassing.
I was embarrassed for him, but it was fun.
Everybody that was here was.
At this time, he is both of our burdens.
Yeah.
He's our cross to bear. It's not a big deal. He's not the responsible one on the show. He doesn't prepare to do it ever. Just, you know, really unprofessional. Logan, shut up.
We just let him say his piece and then move on.
That's right.
I can't wait to get on.
You guys are the best.
All right. Appreciate you having us out here. This is awesome.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Chris. For real.
We'll come back here on the Eric Haines Show. We'll take your phone calls at 656-9900 next. He's back. All right. We're rolling.
Awesome.
We're rolling. He says that is awesome. And he's right. All right. 656-9900. We go to the phones now and welcome Nick. Nick, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning. Nick, are you with us?
Hey, good morning, man. What's going on?
Hey, I got a couple things. Hopefully you guys have enough time to touch on them. The first one being about the transfer portal. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I just ran back to the truck.
You're good, man.
Something interesting I think is interesting I think about with the transfer portal is guys in like the 90s, early 2000s age, even specifically some guys that you played with, who do you think would have benefited from having the transfer portal at the time?
Some of the quarterbacks that I played with, like B.J. Coleman and Nick Stevens and guys like that, probably could have left, and they did anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Coleman left and went to Chattanooga, but in an era where you didn't know, it was harder to transfer and find a landing spot.
B.J. Coleman would have got a Power 5 team for sure.
He ends up playing in the NFL.
Yeah, same with Nick Stevens. I mean, guys like that.
And Nick Stevens did play for the Cowboys, that's right.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of who else.
Maybe LaMarcus Coker would have found a better spot where people could have helped
pulled
him.
Pulled
an
Ontario
more.
Smith and just moved, gone to Oregon or Washington, then his problems wouldn't have been problems anymore.
Yeah, Coker's one of those guys that's, you know, what could have been comes to mind when you think of him. My second one being about this whole ticket thing, and I want to try not to say anything that somebody else has already said, but to me, it seems like since Danny White's car, he's been to Buffalo, he's been at UCF. No history, no tradition with those programs. Not even close to what Tennessee has here. And I mean, you're in the heart of Southern football pageantry here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
It seems like he doesn't have a pulse on the fan base, on the history, the pride, and the tradition here at Tennessee. And maybe Brian, do you know if he's done these? Like what he's trying to implement now. Do you know if he's done that at any of his previous stops, UCF or Buffalo?
I don't know specifically what they've done in those places. I do know that they have a more – the Tennessee system is not modern even compared to our peer institutions like a Florida, like an Alabama. They've each undergone significant changes in recent years. They've also done it when they were very successful, which is kind of the chicken and the egg. You feel like you need to make the changes to be competitive and raise money on the same level as your peers. But they did it at times where they were being very successful, and you're trying to do it at a time where you're also trying to build back. I think it's twofold. It makes it tougher.
Yeah.
And to your point, I think with the amount of turnover that has been in the athletics department since Dave Hart took over, you still have some, but you don't have a lot of longtime employees that can help advise him on some of the things that have been important to fans in the past, some of the things that have caused problems in the past, and some of the mistakes that have been made in the past. Because Dave Hart got rid of a lot of people that didn't agree with him on everything. John Curry just had some people that made it through there that retired. And then Philip Fulmer had the same thing. He brought in people who loved Tennessee, but a lot of them were near the end of their careers. there just isn't a lot of context on campus. And so while I think he's making decisions that he feels like are best for the future, he doesn't have a lot of context on them.
Well, I think what he's doing intentionally, I assume, probably not intentionally, but he's like your previous callers, these guys who've had tickets for 50, 60 years, they're more concerned about the future, which business-wise, I get that. But you're, I mean, at the same time, you're pissing off your loyal fans who, like y'all have said, been through it thick and thin. And they're more, it's coming to a point where it's probably everything in general. College football is becoming a rich man sport. You're the old guys, these older guys, they're running them out to bring in the new money. People who probably don't have near the passion that your older fans will have. I'm 28 years old, but I'm very much old man when it comes to Tennessee football. The renovations that they're doing with the stadium, I hate it. I think the great thing about Neyland Stadium is you walk in, it's just a tower of seats surrounding you everywhere you turn. I think what they're doing is just turn it into a social event more than you come there and just scream and get pissed off and yell your head off. But I really hope that he listens to people, that he gets a feel for what, you know, the fans are like around here. And I hope he just doesn't run too many off to where it becomes, you know, you run somebody's grandfather off, then they're, you know, somebody's dad doesn't become a fan. I feel like you start to affect future generations of fans because their grandfathers got ran off, which then caused their fathers to get ran off, you know, kind of trickle-down effect like that.
And that's the concern I have. You're echoing exactly what I was trying to get across earlier as well. They are trying to bring in new generational fans. And I worry that they won't bring in as many as potentially do not return because of this. Great stuff. We appreciate your phone call.
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if I now with all the streaming services we have in all of our homes, right?
Yep.
A new movie comes out, and I could go take the kids to it in the movie theater. And if I'm positive it's going to be an awesome movie, then we go.
Yeah.
If they want to watch it, and I'm not sure, I'll spend $30 still, but I'll buy them the movie and we can just watch it at the house.
Yeah.
If it's a bad movie, we're never watching it. If it's an average or we don't know, sure, we'll get it. But we're only going if we are like passionate about going. And I feel like you have a bunch of fans right now that have been passionate because they've been passionate.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily because the team is winning. If you make it all about the team being good and finding new fans, dude, kids in Knoxville grow up Florida fans and Alabama fans. I got a kid I coach in the middle school team, and he said Roll Tide to me, and I literally, I punched a child. I literally hit him, and his parents were right there, and they're like, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, dude, it's like, if you make it all about winning, Alabama and Florida can do that.
Yeah.
We are not winning.
Let's grab Marshall before we have to get out of this segment. Marshall, welcome into the Eric Gaines Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, so my name is Dixie Fieldhouse on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I recognize
infamous.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of infamous for one of my opinions, and that is that I despise with a fiery passion black jerseys, right? So we're sitting here talking about history and tradition, right? And so every time I bring this up, someone goes, well, we wore black jerseys around the turn of the century. Well, to me, that's kind of a ridiculous point because – that was like based on available materials. Y'all remember in history class
did.
When we talked about, you know, when we talked about the Civil War, it was like the South wore gray because that was what they had. That was the threads they had, right?
Yeah.
So I just get frustrated about it. I look at something like Penn State, you know, last week in their whiteout, you know, and I just think it would be way cooler if we were vigilantly orange and white. You know, throughout the years, we've had black on the outline of our numbers and stuff like that. But to me, that's a little bit lazy. It's way cooler to just stick with those traditional colors. You know, you're talking about, like, trying to bring these new kids in. Those kids aren't loyal anyway. So if we want to change who we are to bring in those kids, they're not going to stay with us, just like what Eric is saying. They're going to drop us at the moment of the hat. You know, so I'm just really frustrated. I want to hear what a VFL has to say about this, maybe what some of your other VFLs, but, yeah, I'm passionate about this one.
Marshall, we appreciate it. I think are going to wear black later this year, and, Eric, I can shake my fist at the cloud, but what would you? Where do you come down on the alternate stuff?
Okay, first off, I became a Tennessee fan at 17, pushing 18 years old.
Yeah. You only wore orange jerseys with white pants and white jerseys with white pants.
But you know what, though? I swear back then, and maybe some of the guys cared, I couldn't even tell you if you put up like three different uniforms and said these are around the same time before and after, which one did you wear? I wouldn't know. I'm not kidding. I would not know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It doesn't bother me like it bothers some people, but to Marshall's point, to your point, to a lot of people's points that have been watching this for longer than I've been alive, I get it. I do understand it. I also come from Nike Town in, yeah. with Oregon, and like everything's different. The tradition is to be different every week. Like that is what's different.
I hate to quote Nick Saban, but Nick Saban says, we don't seem to have any trouble recruiting with crimson jerseys and white pants and white jerseys and white pants.
Right? I mean, come on.
He's not right.
Well, I was going to go to Tennessee, but I hate black jerseys, so I'm not. I mean, you won't hear that. It is a for the fans deal for sure. That's all. But it is. I mean, it matters to people. It matters to Marshall. It's fine. I mean, that's everyone has their deal. I have this thing where I hate when we score less points than the other team. And I just can't seem to get over it.
Speaking of that, we pick our upsets of the week next. Tyler Wyatt joins us as he tells us how correct or incorrect we are about those next on the Eric Haines Show.
Thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Major League Baseball scores last night. The Braves took down the Diamondbacks 9-2. The Twins beat the Cubs 5-4. The Pirates and the Reds were postponed yesterday afternoon. The Phillies took down the Orioles 4-3. And the Yankees all over the Rangers 7-3. The College Football Playoff Board will not vote next week on a proposed 12-team format. The playoff is entering its eighth season with the current 4-team format. It's a 12-year contract that runs through the 2025 season. It is possible that the format could change before the end of the contract. And the NFL, the Bucs have placed wide receiver Antonio Brown on the COVID-19 list after he tested positive. He's the third player this week for a Bucs player to test positive for COVID-19. Native Design and Hardscapes, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or outdoor business space into a reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Native Design and Hardscapes, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Have a good morning.
Welcome back to the Eric Haines Show. The sun is peeking through the clouds. We're here in Teleco Village at the Links at Kahiti. We are here for the Folds of Honor. We'll get to Tyler in just a second. But listen, if you want to donate, this is a fantastic cause. They're trying to raise $13,000. This goes to deceased and injured, disabled military veterans and their families.
Their kids for scholarships. It's amazing.
It's a really, really cool deal. All you got to do is go to foh.org/TV.
We now go to the Stanley Vincent Gates hotline because it's time to play Upset of the Week. Tyler Wyatt is our expert with the numbers on the Eric Haines Show. And so he's going to tell us how correct or incorrect we are. Tyler, happy Thursday. Hope things have been profitable lately.
They have been. Is that you, Eric? You sound different.
You listen.
It's a clone.
Do you need me to say hello? Hello? Do you need my social security number,
Wyatt?
Don't
give that on air.
I might give it to him. He might make me some money.
Yeah,
I don't know. You never know.
It's true.
Just give him my bank account.
Yeah.
Yes, it is me here in the flesh. You know, I know I'm such a big deal, and just everyone's just so excited to see me all the time. Where'd everybody go? They're all gone.
We do have upset of the week. Eric, would you like to lead off?
I don't want to do anything first.
He doesn't want to do anything first. All right, then I will give you mine, Tyler. I have, putting on upset alert, on the road, Texas A&M headed to Arkansas. It is a ranked matchup, A&M playing without their quarterback. Am I off base on that? Can the Hogs actually do it?
You're not actually. I like Arkansas in the game to cover. There were 10 wins last season, abbreviated SEC schedule, by road underdogs. 10 in the entire conference. Sam Pittman won 3 of those 10 by himself at Arkansas. Jimbo Fisher has never lost since joining the SEC as a road favorite, and he wins those games by 16.8 points per game when he is a favorite on the road. I like Arkansas to stay in this game, and I do think it's a close one. Obviously, A&M, some questions there at quarterback. But I do think the Aggies find out a way to steal this one and keep their season rolling. I don't want to say you're wrong. I like Arkansas to cover this one in a close one. I just don't think they get the win.
And I did say on the road it is a neutral site game, of course, much to Sam Pittman's chagrin at Cowboys Stadium, not on the road.
Yeah, and Jerry World, maybe a Jimbo, you know, kind of under the big lights there. I think that's even, you know, a better situation for him. But outside of A&M Stadium there, he's never lost straight up since joining the SEC. So I do like A&M Stadium.
I would say in this game, too, this is similar to a lot of them. One team has all the pressure on them to win, and one team's really not expected to win regardless. So that's it's kind of fun to play in that game. If you're Pittman in Arkansas, you go throw everything you got at them, and it's sometimes it works out.
Logan Ward, your upset of the week pick.
So I don't know if I'll pick this as an upset, Tyler, but just to me, Notre Dame being a 6.5-point dog to Wisconsin. Wisconsin more of a running style team. You don't get a lot of possessions with Wisconsin. Am I wrong to think that this line is just 3.5 points too big?
You're not. Unfortunately, Brian Kelly, when he is an underdog, is absolutely awful. He's lost his last 10 when he's played outside of Notre Dame Stadium, and he's not been expected to win. He's 3-14 straight up his last 17. He's a pretty good covering machine. He's 11-6 against the spread when he's not expected to win. It's going to be an ugly game. I do think Wisconsin tries to slow this one down. I do think the number is off. I actually have 26-23 projected final Wisconsin with a 3-point win. You mentioned the 6.5 points, and that it is maybe a couple too many. I agree with you there. I do think Wisconsin wins the game. It wouldn't surprise me if Notre Dame pulls out the upset here, but I do think the number is off 2 to 3 points with Wisconsin there just squeaking a 2 or 3 point victory in this one.
All right, Wyatt,
you're up.
So I'm going to need your Florida-Tennessee info at the end, regardless. But I got Clemson and NC State. Clemson is no longer good at football, it seems, apparently, immediately. And NC State could throw some haymakers. What do you think, number 9 Clemson?
Yeah, it's not the same Clemson that we're used to. They're 17-2, their last 19. Obviously, those were with Trevor Lawrence. They've won a lot of games in recent memory, but you nailed it. They've looked pretty poor so far in 2021. NC State, since Dave Dorn took over, he's not very good when he's expected to lose. He's averaged minus 13.5 scoring margin since 2013. He's 2-5 in recent form. If you go back and look at just the kids on this current roster, 2-5 straight up at home when they're expected to get beat. I think this is a close game. This is another one I think the number is off. You can shop around and find this one at 9.5, 10. There were some 10.5s yesterday. I think this is much closer to a one-score game. I love Clemson to win the game, but I think NC State covers. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if NC State wins this game. They're a tough team. They like to sling it around, and we've seen an anemic offense so far from Clemson. If they struggle out of the gate and can't get points on the board early, wouldn't surprise me if NC State takes the lead into the second half, and then we see something that we had seen before with Clemson trying to come back from a deficit.
All right, we have Tennessee and Florida Saturday. I've seen the number as high as 20.5. Right now I'm looking at it 19, at least with ESPN. How do you see this one going? Do you see Tennessee with any ability to cover that number?
I do. This is actually the second largest spread in this series history. 2009, Florida was a 30-point favorite while beating Lane Kiffin by only 10 points. The second largest spread in history. When Florida has been favored by 14 or more points, they've never covered a game. I see Tennessee being able to keep that trend going and keeping this one well inside that 20.5-point number. I think the number preseason, which was much closer to where it was, we saw in May and June, some odds makers put out numbers as a game of the year line in Florida, and they had Florida 14.5, 15 points. I think that's much closer to where this number should be. I think Tennessee covers this one. It's been a struggle at the quarterback position. It'll be interesting to see what Josh Heupel does there on Saturday, who he gives the keys to. I think that Florida coming off of that Alabama game could struggle. I think they could come out slow. And if Tennessee can get a high-powered offense going, which I think they have shown us enough that we can have a little bit of confidence and then put in points on the board. But this could be a close game. Do I think that they have the ability to win in the swamp? Too early to tell with Josh Heupel right now. I think Florida squeaks out a victory, but this is somewhere in that 10 to 14-point range, 10 to 17-point range. I don't think the 20 or 21 is ever in doubt.
Does everybody know how embarrassed I am right now? All Wyatt said was that he likes us to cover.
Yeah.
And I got kind of excited. I'm like, I smiled. And then Chris was looking at me. He was like, oh, no, look at him. Look at him go. I'm watching it happen.
You're giving Eric the belief that they can pull
Wyatt,
it off.
Wyatt, dude, Wyatt.
Is there any other game that sticks out to you that we didn't mention that may be a good value out there?
Actually, a game I like tonight, Marshall and Appalachian State. Marshall 3-1 against the spread since 2018 as a road dog, only losing by just over a field goal. Appalachian State, when they're favored by a touchdown or less, going back the last 8 years, has only won by just over a field goal. You can catch Marshall right now catching a touchdown, 7.5 points if you shop around. I like Marshall tonight plus the points.
Tyler, we always appreciate it on Thursdays. People can follow you on Twitter at BetSmartUS. Great stuff as always. We're out here at the golf course. How you hitting them?
Hitting them good. You're actually down there with a good friend of mine, Casey Flinnigan. Tell Casey hello. He's playing in the marathon today, raising money for, like you guys said, an amazing cause. That's how Casey Tyler says what's up.
We will.
When he came in earlier, he told us what he shot on his most recent round around the course on the marathon, and I got a little uncomfortable because I thought that was what you shoot on nine holes. But
yeah, no, that was a full 18 right there.
That was a full 18-er.
I'm setting the total for Casey at 66.5 last round.
I'm taking the over.
Yeah. He looked like he was having too much fun. He wasn't all dialed in. I'm taking the over.
Doesn't surprise me.
Tyler, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
See you, boy.
That is Tyler White, our expert on the numbers as we play Upset of the Week. We come back, we find out what we learned today, wrap things up from the league set Kahiti next on the Eric Haines Show.
In two straight ball, if that goes in, I'm going to leave.
Oh, he just missed.
Oh, my gosh, he just hit two in a row. I don't know what his name is, but I feel like I need to know now.
That guy in your
Give me that guy all day.
But anyway. Talk about what we learned today, and that's brought to you every day by Gambooses.
Yep, GambusesBarbershop.com. I am making my appointment to go over there. Probably tomorrow. It's fantastic. If you're a dude and you haven't gotten your hair cut at Gambusa's, either the one over by the mall on Gleason, I think it is, over in that area, and then the other one right on North Shore.
Center,
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, North Shore.
The only spot to go.
At North Shore, you can walk next door and get some cookies at Hammond Goodies.
Yep, absolutely. Haircut. I know where places with fun people.
I know where places
gals
are based on what their what restaurant they're next to. Logan? What did you learn today on the Eric Haines Show?
Well, aside from the clone Eric Haines showing up once again to a remote,
yeah, I'm here, folks.
Yeah, peep Twitter for that one. There's a terrible, terrible Thursday night football game tonight between the Panthers and the Texans.
Oof. Texans don't have a starting quarterback. And the Panthers, they have Sam Darnold.
The Texans have a starting quarterback. They just can't allow him to play. He's really good.
Their other starting quarterback took the Bills, of all people, to the playoffs, but now he's hurt and can't play.
Yeah, well.
It's a good thing this is an NFL Network exclusive. I have AT&T, so I don't get NFL Network, so I'm just not going to miss it.
I'm coaching middle school football tonight. I don't care what's happening in the NFL tonight.
But most importantly, football-wise, and you can hear the NFL game on our AM.
Yeah, you're right. You can. Sorry.
But Rivalry Thursday is on the FM signal with what should be a really fun game between Alcoa and West. It starts at 7 o'clock. Jason Swain and I will have that for you then.
So and I'll be curious to see what Swain says about it, you as well. But I went and watched West play last year. Mm-hmm. They played Carnes. And Carnes, although they have the Bishop kid, he was out there.
They are much better this year than they were last year.
So yeah. I remember being impressed, though. Like, I was watching West play, and I just don't go to a lot of high school football games, but it is what it is. But I remember going, are they supposed to be good? And my buddy was like, yeah, they're pretty good. And I watched them. I was like, they're better than pretty good. That's a good football team. So if they're better than that even, then they're probably pretty tough.
They have a lot of juniors on their roster as well, so this West team is going to be back next
year
as well.
That's impressive.
Looking forward to that. We didn't learn this. I kind of figured, but people like me are concerned about what impact these changes at UT with tickets are going to have on the number of people that come and the psyche of somebody. I do think, though, and I want to say this, I hope and I think, because Danny White has said, we want this to be the start of a conversation with people. I hope that they mean that, and I think they do, to try to understand the context of what people as fans have been through the last couple of decades at Tennessee, what they've done, and how they can help in the future without necessarily falling into one of these categories that has made people a little upset.
I feel like if I was a hacker, mm-hmm, and I could tap some phone lines and listen to the Tennessee Fun phone calls that they're getting, or maybe they could just play the little thing, this call could be recorded for quality assurance. those, not every one of them, but I'll bet there's some that have a lot of potential to be really interesting.
There's a lot of people that have had a lot invested in years past, and
now they're saying for what?
Here's the ultimate thing. People want to feel valued. When you have been a part of something, you definitely want to feel valued. And when someone new comes in, the first thing that most people are worried about is, am I going to be valued the same way I have always been valued? And right now, the feeling that some people are getting, right or wrong, the feeling that some people are getting is the answer to that question is no. And that doesn't sit well with people. See, I think they're going to have to take a deep look at how do we make everybody feel valued and get to the end goal that we need, which is we have to raise more money if we want to be competitive with our peers.
Here's the deal. This is fandom athletic department targeting. What do I mean by that? There's the spirit of the rule, and then there's what it actually turns into. They're trying to raise more money so they can compete with other schools in this conference that we want to be better than.
Yes.
That, as a starting point, wouldn't we all say, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
But then the way that it happens, and this isn't the only way that it happens, and some of the donors they deal with are on such a large scale. Those are private conversations with five people courting them, trying to figure out what they can still get, or could they get more, what can we offer. Like, that stuff exists, but you're not average Joe, but your average Joe Tennessee fan that spends thousands of dollars to come in there and watch games, you know, they'll go, all right, so I understand they want to make more money, and we want them to make more money. We want to do that, but that's how I have to do. That's how you want to do it?
Yeah.
For some people, they'll go, well, I don't want, I mean, a little bit of my money would be fine, but, you know, like people Carter called, he's like, $15,000. I can't. He's like, even if I wanted to, I couldn't pay it.
I think they need to have some conversations with some people that were around in the mid-2000s to see what they were thinking then and what ended up happening and how you avoid that, because you cannot afford to have fewer people buy season tickets in that stadium.
No.
Because right now there are the fewest since they've expanded the stadium for the 1980 season. They have the fewest season tickets sold this year that they've had since then.
So this doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. Like,
right.
This
Absolutely.
Could be a win-win.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you, Danny White, saying, listen, we're starting the conversation. Let's see how it goes, a.k.a. let's check our phone lines when they blow up. Oh, and the internet. Oh, my gosh, both of them are on fire. Okay, well, let's keep talking about it, because you don't have to make a ton of fans angry just to try to go get more money from more affluent people that maybe will give money. People don't do that if your team sucks. That's my thing. I'm like, everybody can be right. We can all still go. We can get more people to go. And all of that starts when, .. the team is winning. That's the hard part about it right now.
Want to thank everybody here at the Links and Kennedy for having us out here. The Folds of Honor Golf Pro Marathon is rolling right now. To help them raise money for Folds of Honor, go to foh.org/TV for Teleco Village. And you can also get down here at golftelecovillage.com. Is a great
place.
Just
come play golf, too. I mean, yeah. I know we're here for a reason today, but, man, these courses out here are ridiculous.
Come by and see them, golftelecovillage.com. Eric, we'll see you tomorrow out at Rusty Wallace Kia.
Sounds good, brother.
Looking forward to that. Jay, thank you. Logan, thank you.
Sykes, thanks for having us out here, brother.
We'll see you tomorrow.